I'm John Batchelor. Russia crisis. Rogozin is in Belarus. What have we learned in these last days about the Russian economy? For example, Russian oil. The price of oil did not rise sharply following the early information about Prigozhin. In fact, it fell sideways and retreated a little bit. We're told that Russian oil is now selling at a steep discount, and how that'll affect the Russian economy is that we are seeing revenues sharply lower for the Russian government than they were in 22. However, the oil story is not how the people reacted to those events in Rostov. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's going to introduce us to the mayor of Moscow, the bankers of Moscow, and the Russian Central Bank, where the drama took place. Michael, a very good evening to you. What was the first reaction of the Russian people when they heard about Prigozhin? Thank you.
Well, the Russian people immediately panicked. And the first thing people do, in any country it will happen, they run on banks and they withdraw cash because they believe that the first victim of anything will be the banks will collapse because there will be not enough liquidity. And when everyone runs there in the banks collapse. We know it from any country and from any time. So the first reaction was that people went to the banks. ATMs are working 24/7. And so they withdrew cash. And that was such a day in history when they compare with the day when COVID was announced and people were afraid. And so they withdrew cash then. Then mobilization was announced last September and people needed cash to get out of Russia or they were afraid that something will happen. So this was the third time in a few years when in one day they withdrew more cash than they do in several weeks. And the central bank was closed on Saturday and Sunday, so it couldn't provide liquidity to the banks. The banking system is very fragile. And on a Monday, then it was even more drama there because the banks opened and the central bank opened. But the mayor of Moscow, in expectation that the mutiny will reach Moscow, announced on Monday that people should sit home and not come to work. So Monday was suddenly a non-working day. So the banks were supposed to be closed. But the central bank immediately overruled the rule, the mayor of Moscow. They don't have such authority, but they said the banks report to the central bank, not to the mayor of Moscow. And so the banks should stay open because they were afraid that if the banks closed, it will be a panic even greater. By that time, the mutiny was over. The uprising was over. But people continued to react. And so the central bank told banks, now you have to work business as usual. But banks discovered that cash was withdrawn. They didn't have enough money to pay for their obligations to process payments. So the central bank said, issued another rule and said, okay, it's all right. You delay payments and you're not obligated and just process payments to the limit of your liquidity that you have. So that was the next day of panic after the mutiny was already over.
The bankers right now are dealing with a ruble that's been sharply lower. How so? And what does that mean? The ruble is reacting.
Oh, of course. So when the panic started, immediately people wanted to convert their rubles into dollars. And what happened that, again, ATMs are open 24/7. Saturday and Sunday banks were closed. But exchange bureaus were open because they make money, they are small. So people started to run and whenever they can convert. So the ruble was 83-84 rubles for the dollar and immediately jumped to 200 rubles for the dollar. So 150% appreciation for the dollar. People were willing to pay 200 rubles for the dollar. Now it is back to 86 rubles for the dollar today. But for a few days, it was a great deal for speculators to sell dollars because the exchange rate collapsed.
Everybody because making money.
The dollar is a safe asset. Now it has proven that the dollar is a safe asset for everyone.
I remember in the early days of the conflict, February and March of 2022, the ruble was a bragging point in the Kremlin because, as I recall, it was somewhere between the 50s and the 60s, maybe as high as the 70s. So since then, it's retreated a great deal. over the last year?
What happened when the war started in February? The dollar is a safe asset, so people immediately ran away from domestic currency into the dollars and euros, and the exchange rate, the ruble exchange rate collapsed for a couple of months. But immediately the central bank, a few days later after the war started, abolished convertibility. So there were very few exchanges. And so the ruble started to appreciate. And because of the war, oil prices went up. Foreign exchange revenues went up for companies. And so the ruble appreciated to 50 rubles for the dollar. Now it is 84. So it is already again 40% up. So the dollar is up, ruble is down. So again, the ruble lost value since last summer. But now, during those fateful days, it really, the dollar jumped 150% because there was a panic.
Another detail of this is that the Russian sales of oil are now almost entirely to East, India and China and their customers in the East. But all of that oil is sold at a sharp discount, correct? So the Russians are no longer enjoying the prices that the European states pay, and that will continue as long as the sanctions continue. So the revenue for the Kremlin is indefinitely sharply lower, correct?
Oh, it is correct. Just a few days ago, there was a wonderful study published by Simon Johnson and his colleagues from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Simon Johnson is a former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, which showed that because the Russian oil companies need cash and need it urgently, they are willing to sell even at discount. So usually in the market, when prices go down, the supply goes down. Here is the reverse. The prices went down, the supply went up, and the Russians are breaking the rules of OPEC. The Saudis are very angry at them because the Russians are increasing exports while the prices is going down because they have to recover the lost revenues.
Michael, the Russian economy has been a puzzle for more than a year. But what you're saying right now is that the effect of the drawn-out war, the stalemate on the battlefield, and now the momentary calming of the mutiny, but it could erupt at any moment, leaves the Russian economy in worse shape than ever before. Is that correct? Because the IMF has said that it's going to maintain itself this year. Is that now unlikely?
So it is going to maintain with a slow decline. Just today, the statistical agency, Russian statistical agency, published the data on the industrial production. And now we know that natural gas production declined by 15%. The overall industrial production declined by 1%. So it is a slow downward trend. It's very slow, but it goes down.
And the run on the banks, that's over with for now. But the next time we can expect that to happen again, and the Russian Central Bank will intervene, what does that mean for, well, we'll see. I don't want to get ahead of this. It's enough that they went through this over the weekend. Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, watching the Russian economy, the Russian banks, the Russian Central Bank, the ATMs, all of this. I thank him very much. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.